You are listening to Dynamite in the Brain with your hosts Brian Smith and Anthony Askew. Tonight's episode, the theme of this episode is to be determined.
Your life's gone down the drain, your body's wrecked with pain. There's just one thing to blame, dynamite in the brain.
Thanks for listening. On today's show, we take a trip back to 2013 to sample Sarze-san. And then we'll discuss the 2013 film, Hunter Hunter, The Last Mission. So maybe the theme is 2013. And to join us to do that is nobody.
Oh.
Just me and ye. Because I was struggling hard to think of a theme. Originally it was going to be Slice of Life anime, but then that would have had to involve watching Slice of Life anime.
Nobody wants that.
And there's just so many of them, and are they really Slice of Life anime? But hey, something which definitely is Slice of Life anime. I think possibly the living definition of it is the all-time classic anime, which is part of our Just Enough to Bluff feature this week, Sarze-san, the longest running cartoon in the world.
Why? What year did this come out? I need to know.
October 5th, 1969.
Many fans may well be dead. Who started that from the beginning? That show
possibly,
was...
and it's based on a newspaper strip which ran 1946 to 1974.
Gosh.
By Machiko Hasegawa. And the reason we're watching a very recent episode of it is because it has never been released on home video.
I think that's surprising.
Well, there was apparently a non-merchandising deal.
Where they just don't put it anywhere.
Yes, so there was no merchandising for Sarze-san. And they've honoured the author's request on that, so there's never been any home video release.
Oh, wow.
That is what I'm led to understand. Huh. And so, yeah, these two, this episode we watched is 2,199. But that in turn features two stories. I didn't make a note of what particular two stories, because they're all numbered separately, aren't they? I don't know if you noticed.
Internal segments.
Yes.
Within that, yeah. I definitely noticed.
And this was a double length episode. So.
Woo!
it was the anniversary eve episode. Apparently. Was it the 44th anniversary?
47th, if I recall. I could be wrong, but that number stands out in my head.
I think it's from 2013. Let me have a look. I'll have a look as well.
I'm going to quickly flick it on. I should be able to tell you.
There you go. See, I'm accidentally opened up the episode we should have watched, which was the following episode, which was half the length and probably more typical of the show.
So this was kind of out of the ordinary with it.
I think not in terms of story, but probably in length of story.
Oh, okay.
Yes. And certainly in length of episode.
I can't even see. I'm skipping through this episode trying to get... I'm going to still guess at 47.
Okay.
Let's just assume. If it's wrong, it's wrong.
Yeah, so I don't know. Well, I said 2013, but I could be wrong. Let me see. I was trying to look up earlier when this thing... So it was fan-subbed in 2013, which is why I was thinking that was...
Okay.
When it aired. Which that would have made it the 69... That would have made it for the 44th anniversary.
Okay. I knew it was in the 40s. How is it so popular? Or is it popular?
It is, yes. It's the most. It's consistently the most popular anime in Japan. It's always there, number one. When it any week it airs, it's the most popular in the top 10 anime watched charts.
I mean, in theory, it's for everyone.
Yes,
there's
that's
nothing
why it's popular.
There that's...
And it airs on a Sunday night.
On a night?
On Sunday evening, yeah, sort of. Tea time around, is it basically when they used to show Last of the Summer Wine, that sort of thing.
Oh, that kind of people watch.
Yes,
that,
so it's like Heartbeat. It's there
perfect.
To slow down your Sunday evening, so it feels like it's taking longer before you have to go back to school or work.
Well, job done with this episode. Drew my evening right out.
So this is two stories. The first one involves the dad of the family. We should probably run down the characters. Could you figure out all the relationships from watching this one episode?
I imagine there's like Sarze's the older sister of...
Yes.
Is it Katsuo? Yes. Who gets called different things by
Katsuo
different people?
Katsuo and Wakame is, yeah, so Sasae's 24, Katsuo's 11, Wakame's 9, and so they, obviously, the younger ones, and also Sasae live with their parents,
mm-hmm.
but Sasae is also married and also has her own son, and they all live in the same house.
I didn't realise that. I didn't realise one of those was her son.
You didn't realise the one who was calling her mama.
Oh, so that's the one who repeats himself in a weird way.
The one with the shaved sides of the head, I suppose.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. He's 3 years old.
I see. It's all coming together. It's all coming together.
So, yes, the first one episode involves the dad, Namihe. He's 54 years old, according to Wikipedia. And he's trying to get his son interested in Baygoma.
Which I was on board at this point.
I thought you would be on board with this part of the story.
Been there, done that.
And now you know why Beyblade's called Beyblade as well. Because we're taking the Bey part of these. Yeah, they're spinning top toys. Metal spinning tops that you spin with wrapping a piece of string around them. And then letting them go onto a sort of slightly curved surface.
Well, they kind of do it on like a barrel with
a bit of
material or something inside.
And, at first the son's not very interested, but then he slowly gets into it in a very long-winded story. And then they are challenged by an outsider who turns out to be the best person in the world at playing this game and wins all their tops off them. And it turns out, is she the granddaughter of this guy?
The granddaughter, yes. Of the master.
Of the master of making Baygoma. And then you get an educational piece on how Baygoma are made.
Which I was interested in. That part, I was like, interesting.
So you're more on board with this first half.
Oh, God, yes. And even then, it was...
Yeah, even then, I was 10 minutes in. I thought, it must be over by now. And that was the point where I realised, this is a double episode. And also, I'm only 10 minutes in.
It was an ordeal.
And that was where I realised, this is very Sunday night watching. This is to make, definitely... It has a pace that will slow things down. Mm. So you can wind down from the weekend.
It's perfect background watching. But to sit and watch it in full concentration and, just focus completely on it, it seems too much of nothing to work like that for me. But background noise, if you happen to walk in, watch a couple of seconds, and you'll probably walk straight back out. Because there's nothing happening. There is something happening, but it takes forever just to disclose it to you. What are people thinking? I just don't understand how they can get so much material about such mundane things.
Well, hey, if it's never been released on video, I suspect they're able to repeat material.
I guess so, because nobody knows. Nobody's ever seen it again. I wonder if it's ever on, like, a BBC iPlayer equivalent of...
And there's, like, this... I don't know if it's just done for this anniversary bit, but there's all these bits about various different places in Japan. Even the opening credits show Sasae sort of travelling around Japan, seeing various sites turned into animation.
Oh, yeah.
And the second half, they go to Fukushima to watch the cherry blossoms, and there's a mix-up with Katsuo and this other kid who wears the same shirt as him. They get their bags mixed up, don't they?
I vaguely remember that. Because at this point, I am turning off.
And it turns out that kid's part of a kabuki show, and the girl that Katsuo was interested in meeting, who he'd seen as a photo in this kabuki show, turned out to be that boy. And he was so embarrassed.
Oh, I didn't... See, we've got a little joke. We've found a little joke in this show.
And Sasae ended up having to take part as well in the kabuki show, and then she almost tripped up as she was leaving the stage in a Madonna style.
Did she have a cape on?
She did, yes.
Oh, she did. Yes. So, admittedly, I'd knocked off at this point. I couldn't deal with it. It was... that's not what I'm here for.
So you don't want to watch another episode next week?
Impossible. I just don't understand why it's called Sasae-san when... I wouldn't even know she was a main character at all.
Yeah, she wasn't in this episode doing being much of the main character. I watched the first half of the following episode, and she's much more in the first part of that. She does a lot of jumping in the first part of the next episode. Because her brothers and sister are trying to ask her how high she can jump. And then her parents tell her off for jumping inside the house. And then she goes outside jumping. And then she starts playing skipping rope with some kids. And then she starts teaching people how to play skipping rope. Anyway, there's a lot of jumping involved. They get an entire segment out of jumping.
See, this is just someone's day-to-day experience. And she's not even an interesting character. I don't think she's very funny. The little kids, they're funny, but they're not Shin-Chan funny.
I was going to say, yeah, were you wishing for Shin-Chan?
Oh, if he'd have rocked up somewhere.
This is the show for good boys and girls, not bad ones. Who watched Shin-Chan?
Oh, man. I don't know. I don't completely hate it. But it's neither here nor there. This is, it reminded me of a show, like just a regular show you'd see on CITV, which is, for those who don't know, what we would watch as growing up as a kid, at least I did anyway. It felt like, you know Arthur?
Yes.
It felt like that, but at least in Arthur, they've got like animal people.
Except when occasionally they don't.
Well, that, yeah, but at least that's got something additional to it. But this is just so reality TV. But mind you, I sit and watch Big Brother when that's on, so I'm in no place to talk. But no, not for me. Sorry, Sazae-san, not for me.
And apparently it's the only TV cartoon in the world that's still cell painted.
Well, that's an interesting fact. Yeah. I don't know. Did you like it? Because you seem quite...
I'm pleased to have watched it. But yeah, I thought it suffered the same problems. And I think part of that was watching the double length episode. Having watched a bit of the normal length one.
Mm.
That may be the pace. But it is a weird mix of sort of reassuring adults that everything's right in the world. Having some humour for kids, and then the weird educational spots.
There is something for everyone.
There is. And I think that pace is why it's so popular. It's in the same way that Heartbeat ran for God mm-hmm. knows how long.
Yeah. Oh, I could see a family sitting down and watching this, you know.
Yeah, whether they liked to or not, whether they all wanted to or not. You're going to watch Sazae-san and like it. Yeah, how long did, 18 series Heartbeat ran for?
I mean, I've seen
longer
Heartbeat.
Than the 60s itself.
That's a fun show, Heartbeat, though. It's some interesting, well, not interesting, but some exciting stories, people getting murdered and the cops coming along in their old cars, it's great. It's just so dull, I'm playing it back in my head and there's just, it's very bland. Bland, bland, bland. Like a glass of water.
Apparently, according to the Wikipedia page, the comic was leftist to the point of controversy when it originally ran in Japanese newspapers.
Meaning?
That it was controversial to have such a liberated woman as the main character.
Hmm. I mean, it sounds like there's a lot of history. I don't know, if I was in Japan studying their broadcasting history, I'm sure it would be brought up.
Yeah, I think there's some volumes of it done in those translated to teach Japanese people English books which came out. Yeah, let me see if they're on Amazon. Sazae-san, Wonderful World of Sazae-san, yeah, bilingual comics. There's loads of volumes of them. And they're fairly cheap.
Gonna pick one up?
Probably not, no. I think they did Devilman ones as well. I'm much more inclined to pick those up. I don't think those are quite so cheap. Okay, on to our next topic.
Yes,
on to our next slice of life anime. Hunter Hunter, The Last Mission. This was a thing you'd wanted to do for quite a while.
Yeah, definitely.
So, I'm going to let you do the synopsis.
Oh, you're kidding me, Brian.
You know who these characters are better than I do. You've watched all the anime.
I know a hell of a lot about these characters, but I don't know what it is about... Okay, might as well just bite the bullet. See, I never know how to tackle a synopsis. Do you do it a play-by-play? Do you just give a brief summary?
Just give a brief summary.
Okay, so...
of what the gist of the plot is. You don't have to go to the right to the end. Just tell the good listeners.
The good listener.
The good listeners, the good people. Tell the nice people, like my ventriloquist dummy. Why don't you tell the nice people what this show is about?
The show, the film, it is, as we've said, it's entitled The Last Mission. Unsure why so much, but anyway.
Well, it's definitely the last mission for some of these people.
Oh, yes. Yes. Spoilers, but there's some deaths. Anyway, the Hunter Association, you know, a prolific part of the world of the Hunter world, has a dark underbelly, which the underbelly being called the Shadow. They were hired by the Hunter Association to basically carry out all the dirty work they didn't really want to do. But the way in which this group went about it was not necessarily kosher for Naterio, which is the... Is he president or prime minister? I don't know how they describe
it. He's the chairman of the
chairman.
Hunter Association.
He's the chairman of the Hunter Association. And basically back in the day, he didn't approve of this, so he had them killed off. And their leader at the time, a man called Jed, was defeated by Naterio himself, which we see in the opening scene. And for what reason? Other than to have revenge, but to get their name out, to make people aware of what dark and nasty things the Hunter Association did to cover up. And, it's bit politics in there, you know. And it's them come back for revenge. And, kill Naterio, I guess.
Did you watch this film, Anthony?
I did!
Okay.
I did watch it last week, admittedly.
Okay, so what actually happens is, yes.
See, this is why I should never do synopsis. I've got notes, but when I look at my notes for synopsis, they just rearrange themselves.
Yeah, so you're right at the start, yes. Naterio defeat, you see in a flashback, a younger Naterio defeating Jed, the leader of the Shadows, who were basically the Hunter Association's Black Ops squad, as you said. You got that bit was right. So the reason they come back is because the descendants of the Shadows, the original Shadows, were all living in peace, but then hunters were hired to, by a government, I can't remember which government it was, isn't there like five different governments?
Oh, there's lots of different things at all.
Hunter, I can't remember. I think when they use them as a scapegoat, they round them up and take them into a concentration camp, the descendants. But three of these descendants as kids avoid being rounded up, and they, when they get older, they summon Jed's soul back into the land of the living and, form a covenant with his blood, which gives them the same powers as the Shadow, which is this On power.
So we've got Nen, we've got Ten, and now we've got On. There's another one in there as well.
Is there?
Yes.
I've managed to miss all those parts of the series.
They are some of the slower parts of the series,
right,
but very important nonetheless. See, that's what I said. I covered that synopsis.
You made it sound like they were the same Shadows that he defeated, but I think it's very distinct that they're the descendants and they've been treated badly by the Hunters Association.
Yes.
Or elements of the Hunters Association. And so yes, they're back for revenge, Jed particularly on Naterio, and they take the Battle Olympia tournament hostage at the Heavens Arena. And just so happens that Gon, Killua, Leo Rio, and Kurapika all happen to be there when this happens, so they can get involved.
Of course.
So what do you think of this?
Oh, it's brilliant. I really enjoyed it. Aside the shaky synopsis, you know, because it was last week, it is a film outside of the canon. You know, I can't be expected to remember every detail, but it's far better than the first film. And I could probably watch it again. I think it looks really nice. The story itself, as I say, not probably as good, quite as good as the series, but I could see it as an arc in the series. I could see this being a little bit more than just a one-off film. I liked the whole history of the Shadow, and I think Jed, maybe not the best-looking character, I just like his idea, and I like the fact that he's after Netero. I think that's cool. I liked it.
I wasn't sure about it to begin with, but it grew on me, particularly once the fight between
Gaki
and Killua and
Gone.
yeah. Takes place, because then business picks up. The story's a little...
It's not as thin. It's not as thin as the... What was the last one called? One with the puppet.
Phantom Rogue.
Yeah, that felt so thin. Whereas this...
This was serving certain purposes as well. It was... I mean, their motivation is quite simple, and their plot isn't very complicated.
No. It's confusing, but for me...
But no, what they're trying to do is not very complicated.
No.
They're basically trying to get a document released to the public to make the Hunter Association look bad. But Jed's actual plan is just to kill all the hunters who won't swear fealty to him.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it has the purposes of, I'm assuming this is the first time Pariston Hill is seen animated. He doesn't say anything in this, but you see him a lot. And it's sort of intimated that he's the one who sent the who hired out the hunters to this government.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I don't understand that. It was nicer to start because I didn't know what was going to happen. I really had zero idea. So you get this little moment quite early on where it kind of shows what every character is doing. It's like, oh yes, there's Hasoka, and I was like, oh yes, I wonder if he's going to turn back up. And
he does.
They all do. It's great.
Yeah, not all of them get to do much. One criticism is that it feels like there's bits of it which were cut out for time, in that there's literally a fight we don't see.
Which one is this?
Gaki versus Zushi.
It
cuts, and then it's Zushi just beaten up. It's like, okay. And I thought, okay, maybe, up to that point, when that happened, I was like, oh, maybe this film isn't quite as good as I thought. But then that actual fight you do see happen. So I was like, oh yeah, this is really well choreographed fight.
It is very good, actually, yeah. Yeah, 2-1 action.
Yeah, I'm not sure why Biscuit's there either.
Well, see, I always liked her. I thought she was a really good character. And she's strong. She's not required.
Yes, Zushi and the other guy, they don't really get to do much, at least that you see.
I suppose that's what gets them to the tower, though, to see Zushi fight. So he's required.
That is true, yes. But you'd like to actually see him fight, considering a fight did happen with him. We just didn't get to see it. People talked about it later on. Gaki said that he punched really well. Well, that's nice to know, but he could have animated it.
And I love fighting tournaments. There needs to be more films of fighting tournaments. And you're right what you say. I was sad because I like that arena. I always like to see the goings on in that arena. Well, actually, you do see a little segment. I'm sure you do see a little flashback where Zushi hits him and he sees a little, like a drip of blood come from his mouth. I'm sure you, but it's not as much as you'd want to see. You don't wanna, I want to see a little boy getting beaten up.
Well, let's be sure I've seen plenty of that.
No, that's true.
It is a Hunter-Hunter film. That seems to be one of the main selling points of Hunter-Hunter, is to see little boys get beaten up.
But no, this has just reinforced how much I need to have more Hunter-Hunter in my life.
Well...
I know exactly what you're going to say.
Read those 10 chapters of the comic?
I'm holding off for more. So I might never finish those 10.
I was going to say, because I think part of the things it's trying to do, obviously, it more obviously draws a comparison between Kurapika and these guys.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's also trying to draw a comparison between Netero and Jed's relationship and Netero and Pariston's relationship. Even though you never see that relationship, it's inferred once he does show up as a character.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, why on earth did Notaro keep this guy around? Particularly once he admits to his personality quirks. I can't remember though whether that's in during the, is that during the chairman?
The election? The election.
Or is it afterwards where he explains his motivations?
Let's see, I'm trying to think. I think it's during.
Okay, so I'll say it now. And his thing is that he's only happy when he's upsetting people he likes. And he does that quite well. But they also mention, because they mention Bean, is it Bean or Beans?
I think it's Beans, the little green-headed bean.
Yeah. Because he mentions something about Pariston's power, which still hasn't been revealed in the comic. That we have no idea what his power is yet.
Well, he's well-dressed.
That is, and he's always smiling and sparkling.
He reminds me of a kind of character, I don't know, he's like somebody out of Tiger and Bunny. I could just picture that style of dress and, you know, it's that old school. But yes, I would like to know his power as well. And I presume he's strong. I presume he's going to be strong. You'd hope.
Well, I think they've discussed his relative strength to other people. He's not the strongest of the Zodiacs.
Who is the strongest? It's got to be Ging, hasn't it, really?
Well, yeah, but neither of them are in the Zodiacs anymore, are they?
No. See, we're raising questions that we need answers for.
It may be a long wait. I mean, ironically, we had to put off recording this because I had a bad back last week, so.
I shouldn't laugh. I should not laugh. But no, I would like to see a film every couple of years with this. It's a shame that it's never going to amount to anything other than a nice little nod and a reunion of the characters. That's my criticism. But what can you do?
Make your own stuff up.
No. What? So start writing fan fiction for now.
Yes.
Maybe that's the way to go.
Oh, yeah. Just imagine how the Dark Continent expedition is actually going to go.
I do like of the three kind of underlings or the three descendants. The Shura, the kind of long-haired one who controls all the CCTV cameras. He's dull. He or she is dull. Even their fight with Kurapika and Leorio, that's a dull moment. I just didn't care. I wanted more Mohawk Gaki. Because at least he looks good. He looks like they've actually put a little bit of time in, or perhaps have just thought, let's chuck a bit of colour in his hair. But at least he looks good.
The Shura fight, though, I think is the first point in this film where we get people talking far too close to each other. He's the first close talker, and then Jed's a close talker as well.
What, in terms of right
putting their
close
faces? Oh, yeah, no. Right up to somebody's face.
Just to get the message across. Well, that's how I imagine we do the podcast, Brian.
Is that right?
That we're close.
Well, thankfully, there's like 400 miles between us.
And the poor young, what is the young one? Rengoku? I think.
Yeah, I think that's right, yes.
It was basically like a suicide soldier, really. Just, he or she's used. Yeah. She's basically used to imprison, Notario for pretty much the entire film.
Notaro.
Why am I calling him Notario?
You've changed him.
I think
he was Notario there a minute ago. Notario B.I.G.
Oh, I don't know where I'm getting the spellings from. I'm looking at notes, you see. I scan across notes and bloody iCloud notes auto-corrects things.
Ah, there you go.
And then that has a huge impact.
I've solved that problem by not making any notes.
Okay.
So, this on power, do you think that works well in the world? I assume this is made up for this film.
Oh, no. You'll never see it again. It will never be referenced.
No, because it seems to be entirely powered by Jed's blood.
Yeah, so it's perhaps a good thing that it is, because I'm sure the creator will never need this again.
No, it's a bit over. It's almost overpowered to excuse them from having to have too many fights.
Mm-hmm.
It seems to allow these guys to use multiple different types of powers.
Enhancer type.
Yes.
Yeah.
The other ones.
There's a list
as well.
Of, yeah.
All of them.
Manipulator, Enhancer. Yeah. I'm a big fan, honest, but. But I like the end as well. I just think there's something about the way Jed looks. I don't think he suits the world. I think he looks outside of it. He just doesn't, I don't know. He looks like a Devil May Cry character more than a Hunter character. Do you not think he looks just
yeah, he does
too standout? He doesn't fit.
There's certain characters who look very 90s.
Mm-hmm.
He looks sort of mid-80s. Yeah. I'm thinking of who's the girl who Kurapika bodyguards for now.
The like she's like the leader of
yeah the mafia.
Oh god.
Yeah, she's very 80s, like, isn't she? And Biscuits almost as no, very 90s rather than Biscuits almost as 90s.
Yeah,
in sort of the design of their faces.
You've bugged me. Neon, I think is she called Neon?
I can't remember. I've not seen that.
She is. Oh, it's good stuff. It's good stuff. But yeah, I don't know. He just doesn't fit. I like his power. I like spoilers, but should we spoil it?
We'll start spoiling it now.
Yeah, why the heck not? So Gon gets to, he basically makes a pact with Jed in order to win, basically. And you think, oh no, Gon's gonna turn evil, he's gonna lose control. But he doesn't.
He does a bit.
He does a bit.
It doesn't help him at all in the slightest.
No,
I suppose. Making that pact is of no help whatsoever.
But at least you kinda get a bit of a transformation. You get
it just allows them to have a bit of a fight.
Yeah.
Because they've established in the rules that Nen has no effect on Jed at this point. So therefore, the only thing which will have an effect is on. But it turns out, what really had the effect is forgiveness.
Oh, messages. Always giving out a good message. We do get to see the awesome, the summon from, the chairman.
Yeah. Natero.
No, what's the summon called?
Oh, I don't know. That was the first time I've seen it.
I thought you'd seen the Chimera arc.
No, that's why I haven't seen the Chimera arc.
Oh,
I came
gosh.
Back because I started reading the comic when it was appearing in Weekly Shonen Jump. And then there was a reference to something which happened in the chairman election arc. So then I went back and started watching that because that was on the TV at the time.
Yeah.
But they've made a little bit of a reference to the Chimera Antarch, but nothing to the point where I feel like I've got to go back and figure out exactly.
You need to see, there's some episodes.
Oh, I'm sure it's very good, but you know, I watch a lot of other things.
I know, but you need to make room for this.
I will do someday, it's in my Netflix.
I urge everyone to watch the show. Original from however many, I forget, early 2000s or whenever it was, or the new one. Watch both. Why the heck not? That's what I did. I love it.
Guanin. Anyway, I think that seems to be what his thing's called.
The
Bodhisattva.
Yeah. Okay.
And Jed's is a Rakshasa, isn't it? The one he summons.
Mm. Both very cool looking.
Yeah. And that looks really good as well.
It does. It probably looks better in the film, actually, than what it does in the show, if I recall.
I'm sure they had more money spent on making it look top-notch. And the big reveal is that when they were forming the Hunter Association, did they form it? I mean, that seems what the film is implying, but I'm not sure.
I think it's kind of them two busy saying, right, you do what you want to do.
Well, no, they were both going to... No, what they were fighting, to see who was going to be the chairman and who was going to take command of the shadows. But neither of them could beat the other one, so they did it in a toss in the end. And so that's why Natero is saying that it could have been him.
Oh, who was leading the shadows? Yet. Oh, gosh. I see.
You might want to watch this again if you like it so.
I did. I really enjoyed it. I don't know why. It's just, you know, when you don't pick up on every... When did you watch it?
Yesterday.
Ah, see? I watched it over a week ago. I was very excited and I watched it and then I just remembered I need more of the series, none of this film stuff. But no, you're right, you're right. It's, maybe I should rewatch it.
Yeah, I just couldn't work out if they founded it, how he was the 12th chairman. Had he just been elected 12 times or something? He was continually elected to be the chairman.
I would imagine, I think something's happened between the, like, the formation of it and then him being the 12th chairman.
Yeah.
I would like to think one day there will be some explanation.
Well, certainly stuff has happened at some point in his life that we were not aware of until the current arc.
Yeah.
But as you've not read that, I won't tell you.
Good. That's what I need to do. If I've learned anything, I need to go and read that. Because I didn't think it went on as long as what it sounds.
It's only 10 chapters or so.
I guess you could cover a lot in 10 chapters. But not enough. There's a world there that needs exploring.
Well, yeah, that is a big part of what these 10 chapters are, which will annoy you even more.
That's the thing. I'm going to sit there and be left with nothing. And nothing quite compares to my love and kind of excitement that maybe not so much the film, but the series.
Maybe should start reading Toriko.
To be fair, originally when I did watch that, there was some great stuff and I did get the excitement that I used to get.
And the anime was nowhere as good as the comic anyway for Toriko.
Oh, really?
No, they change things a lot. I mean, the comic varies, I think, depending on how interested he is in what he's drawing at the time. But he's been very interested at the moment. Particularly once he started doing his Gourmet World arc. It's got very bizarre. They're currently fighting a monkey king. In order to steal his testicles.
Oh, I didn't realise that. See, I just prefer to watch some fights animated, and that's why... When I was reading Naruto, I just pretty much read it quickly just to get the story wrapped up. I didn't care about reading the fights. I'll watch them when it comes around. Because as good as an artist he is at times, you just can't get a feel for fights. Would you agree? Because some people prefer to read, obviously, going into this debate now.
There's definitely fights during that last Naruto arc that I want to see animated. Because I think there will be...
Oh, they will super look fantastic, badass. Yeah, but at times you can't tell what's going on in a couple of frames, and no matter how hard you look, it's difficult. It's difficult.
Whereas in One Piece now, it's often quite easy because the fights are quite short, and then they get lengthened in the anime.
Can't complain there. Well, depending on how...
Well, that's because there's so many people who need fighting that you need to keep those fights down to at least just one or two chapters.
I need to read that as well.
You do? Get on.
I can't, there's too much. If you can't watch this, I can't read that.
I know.
You can probably
read 10 chapters of Hunter x Hunter.
Oh, easy. I was going to say 20 minutes there, but not a chance. Yeah, maybe in an evening. Yeah. Yeah, I would urge people to go and hunt this out, though.
Great pun there.
It was good. It was good. I realised. I just think it's a bit of a sleeper. No one... Like,
it's much
times I forgot it was out. Oh, God, yes.
It is much better. Yeah. Now, I see we made a note here about where you would think this would fit in terms of story.
Yeah, just because... Well, I don't know how much I should reveal, but there's a character that they show that... In theory, if they've met him and been there, there's a character that should be dead. That's how I'm going to put it. At least, but we can assume, for sake of the film, that they met the character, forgot about the Chimera Ant arc for a little while.
They just took a holiday.
Yes.
And they heard their friend was taking part in this competition again. Exactly. Quick, let's hang everything up.
Exactly.
A nip off.
But if we're not thinking that, then the character that should be dead. Because Kite, okay, and see, Brian's highlighted it in the notes. In theory, when they meet him, they just kind of go balls to the wall with the Chimera Ant arc. They go off he gets into a bit of trouble, and they don't really return. They kind of return, but not, they shouldn't be doing this stuff. This shouldn't be going on. But what the hell? It's not canon. I mean, how much impact did the creator have? I really don't know.
I don't know if he had much on this one.
Mm.
Is, I don't, because they tend to make a big deal of it now with Dragon Ball and One Piece.
Oh, that's true. That's true.
There's a One Piece film which cannot, I mean, there's more than one now, but I think later ones were made, the Chopper one was made deliberately saying this isn't canonical. But there was one which just cannot fit into continuity due to who's in the crew at the time.
Oh, okay. Okay. See, I would never criticise for that. I'm not drawing a negative on that, because it, you know, it's nice to think one of the characters isn't dead. Because he's a good character. He, spoiler.
Yes, maybe this is alternate reality.
That's it. It's like that whole Evangelion stuff.
Of course, now in Dragon Ball, they've established there are alternative realities. But, and exactly how many of them there are. But they'd already done that, hadn't they, with Trunks?
Oh, yeah, of
course.
Future
Trunks had already created an alternative reality.
That's right.
Because he's Cable from the X-Men. Pretty much, isn't he?
Yeah. Speaking of Trunks, I don't want to go off on a total tandem here. Or tangent, I should say.
Yeah, we'll hop out. The dynamite in the brain tandem.
Have you seen the, you know, that live action short they did for Dragon Ball Z? The future Trunks story?
No. Is that, okay. That fan, is it a fan film?
It is a fan film.
That's why I've not seen it.
Yeah, fair one. It's some of the worst acting I've seen. I mean, you know, what can I expect? But there's some nice effects, and I was just wondering if you'd seen it. Don't necessarily go out your way massively to watch it. If you happen to see a link somewhere, chuck it on if you fancy, but it's not that good.
This incredible Dragon Ball Z fan film took 2 years to make. Apparently.
Well, I know there is additional parts still to come out that's all obviously part of the entire thing. So I could understand that. Whether there are, you know, I don't know what they wanted to do.
Exactly. Was it worthwhile time spent?
What do they want to do with it?
I don't know.
Probably looks good on your CV, but it'd probably look better if you come up with something original. But I don't know. What do I know about film? What do I know?
Well, more than I do. You went to university studying it.
Oh, well. What, I'll say again, what do I know about film? No, that was a rhetorical question. I know. I'm clued up.
Anything else we want to discuss? Anything in Shonen Jump? Tickling your fat? Are you excited about One Punch Man anime?
Oh, yes. You'd have to be mad not to be, because...
I mean, I'm wary of it. I mean, it could easily not be as good as the comic.
Oh, easily. Easily. Oh, they could release it like an 8 out of 10 show, and it wouldn't be quite as good as the comic. But no, I can understand your anxiety. I don't want to read or look too much into it yet until I've seen it, but you've got me worrying now. Because I think it's got so much to live up to. Everyone who's read it is obviously going to be hyped.
Yeah. Yeah, because I think you really should just be like, take the comics, that's your storyboard.
Because
you don't really need to add too much in terms of the action scenes.
No, not at all. Not at all. I just don't know how long they're going to do it for, because they'll be caught up in...
I was going to say,
maybe not very long. 20 episodes, perhaps.
I mean, I hope it's just like 12 episodes long.
That would be perfect. And then a huge break. Yeah, that would be perfect. Oh, it'd be perfect. I hate to say it, if they just left it for now as well. And just come back when it was finished. And then just do it all. Give me something to look forward to in 10 years' time.
What if it was just all original stories?
I don't know, because...
Of just him punching people week by week.
I would probably still... It would probably be a nice little side watch, actually. Nothing to be taken too seriously, but I think it would be all right, actually.
I'd almost prefer to see a live-action version.
Like some crazy, over-the-top... Because everybody gritty.
I was going to say everybody would have to be over the top, apart from Saitama, because obviously he's the one who is almost the most normal of all the superheroes, because he only has to punch people once.
That's true. That's true. I would love it. Anything additional, I will give a chance, but it may be scrutinized. Other than that, and Shonen Jump, I'm a bit behind. Food Wars, it's all right.
Yeah, I'm behind on that. I mean, I quite like it. I like all the food sciencey bits, because I did food science at university. It's just when it gets to the, and I also quite like the ridiculous, everyone losing their clothes when they eat food they like.
Oh, that's good. Yeah. That's funny.
But yeah, the romantic bits and pieces I could care less about.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm not reading I'm just really reading the stuff I've been following, like Toriko, One Piece and Bleach at the moment.
Still reading Bleach.
I am. It's got to the bit which you expected it to get to. Cause I was criticizing it that Naruto, as it was heading to its ending, there was loads of beats you were expecting it to hit.
Mm-hmm.
And I was saying, oh, Bleach hadn't got any of that set up. And then it did something which it had set up. And I was like, oh yeah, no, of course there's that.
So is it good now?
I don't know if it's good, but it's obviously heading towards an end.
Mm.
And I'm pleased I missed out the entire middle of it.
See, I feel the urge to start from scratch. I watched a big chunk of the series back in the day, but I couldn't just jump in midway.
I feel like there's one thing I've missed, one revelation I've missed so far, and this is reading Bleach for about over a year now. There's only been one point at which I thought, oh, I didn't know that. But as it's been said to me now.
You do know it.
I do know it. And everything makes sense now. I just have that one sentence said.
What about that, I always forget how it's even spelled, never mind say it. The stupid kid, like the court case thing in schools.
Oh yeah, I've not been reading that.
I dissed it at first, but I think because it's there, because I'm paying for the subscription, I might as well read it. And it's not too bad. It's not that exciting. It's a bit frustrating at times because they go over the top and overboard. And that I just want to know who did the little crime. I want to know who stole the pencil sharpener, whatever the crime is for the week. It's something a little bit more than that usually, but,
no, I think I only read the first arc with the fish.
Ah, see, I think that's probably the weakest, if I'm honest. But I saw it coming a mile off, whatever. Like, there's a teacher that was involved, if I recall, something bizarre.
Spoiler alert.
Oh, sorry. Sorry. what
okay.
about...
I don't care. You know it's me, I don't care.
What about the new stuff? Because I know there's a lot of new stuff, isn't there?
I've not read any of the new stuff.
Oh, gosh. See, I worry about that, because last time I did that, it was too late for my vote
to
count.
Voted. And so hey, all those things you could vote for, I think, have all been cancelled now, so, from the first selection.
Really?
Yes.
How often do they plan on doing this? This pick of the...
I imagine, probably until one manages to stay around longer than a few months.
Who decides? I understand the vote. It must be worldwide.
Well, it's just these three for the... It's just... This is just for the English language release. But then, of course, they're constantly at risk of being removed due to the Japanese voters in their cards they get each week.
So I feel like our Westerner votes just won't matter.
Probably not, no.
I feel like we will have zero impact. If something's doing bad over there, it will be dropped, surely.
Yes.
Like, forget what we, you know... No, I'm never going to vote again. I've been put off. Last thing I want to mention, actually, that I read a little bit of. I don't know if I mentioned it last podcast, perhaps. That Hero Academia thing.
Uh-huh.
I like it from the start. And then, I was really into it. And then the next week of Shonen Jump, they were like, right, we're skipping to chapter 29. Here's a little bit of a summary of what's happened. I thought, no, I'm definitely not doing that. I wish I'd done that. it's very boring at the moment. It's just run of the mill. And I don't know if I'm going to stick with it. I feel like I may boycott it when there's One Punch Man. It's just, it's nowhere near as good. Yeah, I still miss judo though.
Yeah, that got cancelled as well.
I know. I miss that. See, when that got cancelled, I thought, oh yes, well, I'll probably be able to read it, you know, like scanned. I thought, you know, it might still be on in Japan, but nope. Buried. Dead and buried.
Okay, oh, well, I think that's... yeah, that is, of the two Hunter Hunter films, this is the best one.
Yeah. I was very disappointed with it. I can't remember if I stressed that when I first watched it, because I was probably still on a bit of a good mood, because it was a Hunter Hunter film, but it's not very good, the first one. There's very little...
Though again, you'll be wondering why they even have Leo Rio in it. Because he doesn't do much.
What, in this one?
In this one.
He throws a knife.
He does, yes. He looks concerned when Kurapika's ill.
Oh, yes, of course, yeah. Yeah, good stuff. I enjoyed it.
And he gets dangled off a building by Hisoka.
And his gum.
Yeah, so I was disappointed Hisoka didn't get to do much killing.
Yeah, because his killing tends to be good to watch. He uses cards and... Yeah, he's pretty strong, as the series has showed.
Yeah, he's like the cool version of JoJo Zalesi.
That is a new way of me seeing him.
I've ruined him now for you.
Well, I would love to see Leorio as a child in a similar way. He's a bit of a Polnareff when I think about it. Perhaps right. Sometimes as silly, sometimes not as silly.
Yeah, he's again, when you read those chapters, seems to be having more of a role to play.
I've always liked him, but...
In the new arc, which isn't happening.
Oh, gosh. Cuts deep.
Well, that is Hunter Hunter for you. You've become a Hunter Hunter fan. You got to roll with those punches.
I was a fan from day one, since I first seen the first series, and then I totally forgot about it. And I was like, oh, it's coming back. And it came back, and it was great. Yeah, sad times. One day.
Ah, there's no game, because it's just me and you.
I would win.
Unless you want to do any watchy-watches. Oh, we covered enough side topics. We're talking about Shonen Jump comics.
Yeah, you've got your whack.
Yeah. So.
I'm going to go watch Giovanni's Island again on Blu-ray now, so.
Oh, you bought it, have you?
Yeah, you bet I did. Great film for those.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's a great film, but I only felt I need to watch it once.
I'm going to make my mum and dad watch it, you see. Okay. See if I can get some tears in the room.
Then make them watch Starling Sam. See which one they prefer. Anyway, Twitter.
Oh, yeah, Ant Ask You, ANTASKW. That's it.
Awesome underscore engine. And as always, I can't pronounce the end of this podcast. You can find this podcast on dynamitingthebrain.com, on facebook.com/dynamitingthebrain, and on iTunes. So why not subscribe and write us a review so that more people can find out about the...
Oh, yeah.
That are Dynamite in the Brain. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Woefully unprepared.
I didn't even know I was going to do a synopsis.
I was talking about myself, not you.
Oh, I'm referring to me. Your life's gone down the drain. Your body's wrecked with pain. There's just one thing to blame. Dynamite in the Brain.